I think that my next guest would be fired up about Amos the Farmer in Pennsylvania, because he's somebody who says we need to return to thinking about our constitutional rights. Less government, more responsibility, and with God's help, a better world. That is the slogan, if you will, of the John Birch Society, which has been revived. Welcome in to Dave Giordano of the John Birch Society. Hey, Dave.
Good morning, Dawn. Thank you for having me on.
Absolutely. So I am going to be honest with you, until my executive producer, Anthony Jorenzo, brought this to my attention and said that he set you up for an interview, I actually did not know that the John Birch Society was still active, because I think of the 1950s when it was founded, named obviously for the first American killed by Chinese communists, U.S. soldier and former intelligence officer turned Christian missionary, and thus the John Birch Society was, you know, it emerged. And then I think of that famous Charlie Daniels song, Uneasy Rider, great song, where he says, I'm a faithful follower of the...
Across the Mississippi line, I heard that highway start to whine, and I knew that left rear tire was about to go.
I love Charlie Daniels. So I think of that song, right, where he swears he's a faithful follower of Brother John Birch. And I did not realize that JBS has been revived, if you will, although I'm not surprised that maybe that revival happens during these upside down times. So first of all, can you tell me why it's important to you that you're a member of the John Birch Society? And go ahead.
No, I was going to say, my personal experience was in about 1994, I just realized something's not right. I was always told it was the Democrats, the liberal Democrats. And there was just some real inconsistencies with that. And I just went on a fact-finding mission, read every book I can, started to look at the Libertarian Party, became fascinated with them. But there were things that still didn't make sense. And I heard president of the John Birch Society, John McManus, on the radio, and called in and started reading the material. And all of a sudden, all the holes that were in my mind started to fill up. It all started to make sense. And I learned that it's not a Democrat versus Republican thing. It's not a liberal versus conservative thing. This is a globalist versus America thing. And that the enemy is on both sides. We do have some constitutionalists, most of them in the Republican Party. But that's what I learned and realized how dangerous it was, and joined.
Okay. So that's a great backdrop to start here. Now, the John Birch Society, if you DuckDuckGo it, as I say, or Google it, whatever your search engine, then it says, oh, it's a far-right extremist group, ... and says all kinds of things, because that's what the complicit media will do to anybody who thinks differently or says something that's out of line from the so-called mainstream media. But take me through why this mission is important to you. And I love that you're saying that you're talking about the fact that it's anti-American. Let me just throw out, I'm just frisbee tossing here, and you can catch it. I'll give you an example. For example, we know that there's a lot of money coming into our universities. We've seen this going on with this indoctrination, and then it's a trickle-down effect as well, not just universities, but I'm hearing some of that foreign money actually finding its way into our schools. And part of that, and I know Lawfare has a big lawsuit going on where it's something like, you know, $500 million donated from the country of Qatar to different places, like even the University of Pittsburgh here in Pennsylvania. And you say to yourself, huh, why are these foreign governments from around the world just pumping money into educational facilities in America? What's going on here? And I think that tips you off. There is something going on here.
Well, the founder, Robert Welch, founded the organization in 1958, he was a candy manufacturer, but he was literally a genius. I mean, he's a savant. He went to college at 12 years old. He graduated at 16. And he went on. He was mocked, saying that he was a conspiracy theorist. People said, don't talk about conspiracy. You'll scare people away. He doubled down. He said, no, you must talk about the conspiracy. Because if, what's the first job of a conspiracy? It's to convince you there's no conspiracy. Once you peel that back, once you peel that onion back, then the truth falls apart. He went on to say prior to Castro taking power that Castro was a communist. And then the New York Times, at the same time, the New York Times, no, he is not. So we identify the people behind the curtain. And that money that you're talking about comes from above. In fact, if you read the Blue Book, which is the founding documents, the founding meeting, 2 days, he goes on to say that it's the communist, but actually there's a level above the communist. And that's where the money comes from, the George Soros's and things like that. And there are secret societies out there, and we're mocked for that, mm-hmm. even though it's clearly documented. For example, organizations like the Bohemian Grove, and we're mocked for that. However, Richard Nixon said in his memoirs that his speech at the Bohemian Grove gave him the presidency. Now, he said that. He may be a crook, but he's not a conspiracy theorist because he said that. But you had talked about the organization. You didn't think it was still in existence. You know, like every organization, it gets stronger and then weaker mm-hmm. because people go back to sleep. And when President Bush was, when Reagan was elected, mm-hmm. many people thought we won. You should not put your faith in politicians. But then he went and picked George H.W. Bush, who was a member of a globalist organization, the Council on Foreign Relations, and he was a member of Skull and Bones. And what the John Birch Society does is get really to the root of the matter. And we educate our members, and then we teach our members to take proper action in contacting their legislator.
And so, you know, ultimately what when you look up the John Birch Society, you say that you're a nonpartisan civics and education organization. And so something I always say, and just your reaction to it, I always say we're all getting played. In other words, sometimes we, whether you're conservative, whether you're libertarian, whether you're left-leaning, sometimes we get caught up on these issues. Even the other day, we probably, I don't know, spent 10 minutes in the morning show in Kale and Company debating what were those marks on President Trump's hand. And I said, obviously it's blisters from, you know, he changed his grip in golf or whatever. But we tend to be distracted, whether it's the pronouns or some of the other things, and we're not focusing, all of us as Americans, focusing on what's happening. And like you're saying, the war on America. So to me, when you're talking about this, I didn't even realize, and I apologize, but I didn't really realize that John Birch Society was still an active group. But I instinctively think about these things, and I look at media because I'm a child of media. I graduated from a journalism school. I had the hokey little, you know, when you give your purpose when you're trying to find a job out of college, and I put up there to make a difference through, you know, telling the truth. And I really believed that, and I was very naive, but I'm a very optimistic person. And I went into the media just believing that the media is unbiased and truth telling. And I felt it was a privilege when people would answer their door and tell me their story. And I worked at the local level. I worked at CBS News and Network, hosting a show and anchoring shows and here in Philadelphia. And I really wanted to believe it. Obviously, Dave, over the years, I realized how biased the media was, because even though I never wore my Christian faith or my conservative beliefs on my sleeve, I certainly saw that I was surrounded by people who had agendas, who were very left-leaning. Not all, but a lot. And that's disappointing. But when you look out, how do you think that you get your message out? First of all, Dave, how do you get your message out when constantly the media, the so-called mainstream media, is going to clobber a society such as this by saying, oh, they're right-wing nut jobs? How do you get beyond that?
Well, the media is controlled, and we document that. I don't have time to go into that right now. But it's all grassroots, and when you're telling the truth, the word gets out, and we are effective. You know, Castro's right-hand man, Pedro Diaz-Lance, he was head of his small air force, said that if the John Birch Society, if there was just one chapter of the John Birch Society in Havana prior to 1959, working to expose Castro or Robert Welch, as Robert Welch was doing at the time, but Cuba would not have fallen to communism. That's a big endorsement. Our members have been watchers on the wall. When I joined the Birch Society, some people said if it wasn't for the Birch Society, America would be done. And I thought, you know, that's kind of a pretty conceited thing to say, but as being a member, I realize it's true. I realize that Agenda 21 program, you talked about Amos Miller. I just was in Lancaster this weekend talking about it. Yes, talking about Agenda 2030. I gave a presentation on Agenda 2030, but it was originally Agenda 21. They wanted to have this done by the year 2000, but it was members of the John Birch Society that went out in grassroots and educated the people and forced the politicians. Now we've delayed it to 2030, their new goal. And the reason is our man was there. I mean, Will Jasper, senior editor of the New American Magazine, our publication, was at the first Earth Summit. And that was about the time I discovered the John Birch Society. And I read his article and I thought, this is crazy. They can't control all human activity. And those are their words. They said that at the first Earth Summit. But it was Bill Jasper, and he's not an alarmist, and his writings are accurate, and I watched it. And imagine me going around in 1994, telling people the UN wants to control every aspect of our life. But it's all documented. You could call us conspiracy theorists, but you can download the document of a world effectively controlled by the United Nations. You can go online. It was written by Lincoln Bluefield, member of the Council on Foreign Relations, and it's a state document. And they tell us their goals.
And so part of this is, and again, I'll just point out to you that I haven't read the John Birch Society documents that you're talking about, but I can tell you that absolutely the agenda that's going on is against farmers like Amos or self-sustainability. So the food sourcing and even the grid. You know, I have relatives and family out in Pennsylvania and Chester County, et cetera. And one relative said, he's said, Dawn, hear me out, but he keeps all the seeds. He said, look at how they're trying to control the seeds. What's going on with all the chicken farms across the country? What's up with that, where they're burning farms? Why are they going after farmers? Then I saw in Arkansas, for example, Sarah Sanders, she had said that China couldn't buy up farmland. And so I thought, what in the world's going on with farmland? These are some of the issues that you're concerned about, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And the things that you're talking about, you know, the seeds, they want to control the food. They want to control. Well, let's look at some of the organizations of the United Nations. Robert Welch said, if you get out of the United Nations, you break the back of the insiders, as he called them. Now we call them the deep state. But you look at the people are concerned that the World Health Organization is taking control of our healthcare system. That's the United Nations. They're also control of our education system. They're indoctrinating our children. That's UNESCO, the United Nations Education, Science and Cultural Organization. Right now, our military is fighting unconstitutional wars all over the world under NATO. That is a part of the United Nations. And the Agenda 2030 program will control every aspect of your life, banking, the International Monetary Fund. And it started out, people think, you know, the United Nations is a good idea going bad. It was designed by its founders to do exactly what it's doing today. The fix was in at the founding. The Soviets had their man at the table, and we had our man. The problem is our man was a convicted communist, Alger Hiss. He was convicted for contempt for lying about it. So the fix was in. But getting back to what you said, how do we get out there? We have chapters throughout the area. We have chapters that meet in libraries, restaurants, and homes. We have chapter in Chester County, Lancaster County, Bucks County. The problem is even, quote, conservatives don't understand the Constitution. And they need to. And right now we're holding some classes in Chester County, in Lancaster County, in Bucks County. And you had said you've been in media your whole life. Well, actually, I was in radio advertising my whole life prior to joining full-time. So I'm going to use this as an opportunity, since I was in radio advertising, to say, if you want to know more, call 1-800-JBS USA1, you'll get a hold of our headquarters and myself. But we can't win our country back if we don't understand the blueprint that the founders gave us, and that's the Constitution. It is a wonderful document, and I try to simplify things mm-hmm. by telling people, let me explain something. The federal government has the power to do nothing, nothing, except what's in Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution. That's all they have the power to do. So when you hear conservatives say, oh, should we give this foreign aid money, or you're watching two candidates on, mm-hmm. on stage, which we've seen many during debates, and the liberal says we need to give the United Nations more money, the conservative says we need to give them less money. Well, foreign aid and things like this are not constitutional. But the constitutionalists, like Ron Paul, would say we need to get out of the UN, which, by the way, Senator Mike Lee has a bill right now to defund the United Nations. Mm-hmm. And I was in Ocean County last night, and I spoke with personally, face-to-face, Congressman Jeff Van Drew, mm-hmm. and asked him if he would support a similar bill in the House.
So that's moving. So you're very involved, in other words, John Birch Society, you are involved with, you know, different lawmakers at different levels. As far as the farmers, let's say the farmers like Amos, who I talked about in Lancaster, and I know many in the Amish community are very always concerned about liberties, their freedom, and also with regard to education and religion. So does the John Birch Society endorse a particular candidate, or you're really not into that?
No, we do not endorse, but we have something called the Freedom Index. And I call the Freedom Index the Truth Theorem. And what do I mean by that? So the Freedom Index takes 10 bills, recent bills, and it comes out every 6 months. And it rates the congressman on one thing, and one thing only. Is it constitutional? If it's unconstitutional, they get a minus. Jeff Van Drew happens to have a pretty good score right now. He didn't start that way. But let me give you an example. Mm-hmm. Congressman Perry, I don't think he's in Dauphin County, around Harrisburg area. He scored a 100. That's not easy. So he abides by his oath. Every congressman takes an oath to uphold the Constitution.
You're talking about Scott Perry?
Yes, it's Scott.
In Pennsylvania.
Scott Perry, yes. In Pennsylvania, he scored a 100. Now, so for people who say we've got to get those Democrats out of office, in Bucks County, we have Brian Fitzpatrick. Same bills. He scores a 40. So 60% of the time, he votes unconstitutional. He violates his oath to the Constitution of the United States. So do we endorse? So when someone says, so you endorse Perry? No, we don't endorse it. We just show you how they vote.
Yes.
You decide after that. This brings me back to the John Birch Society, and Robert Welch was attacked because they said, if you Google it, says that Robert Welch called Eisenhower a communist. Well, Robert Welch was a savant. He was constantly writing his ideas down, and he wrote some ideas down, shared them with his closest friends, and they said, you got to publish this. And he said, no, this is my personal notes. They finally convinced him to publish it. Mm-hmm. It was a book called The Politician, which I read many years ago. I want to read it again. And basically what he did is he quoted what the communist plan was from their writings, and step by step, and then he showed Eisenhower's path. And that's all he did. You decide. He didn't call them a communist. And that's what we do. We show their voting record. People ask me, and this is not representative of the John Birch Society organization, they ask me, do you like Donald Trump? So I don't like him or dislike him. I just look at his policies. And personally, when he went in, I didn't trust him. But the first thing he did was he pulled us out of the TPP, or the Trans-Pacific Partnership. And that was written by Robert Lighthizer, member of the Council of Foreign Relations. And that really impressed me. Then he pulled us out of the Paris mm-hmm. Accord, the global warming. And I know that's a leg of the New World Order. And that impressed me. Then he pulled us out of the arms treaty. And I went, whoa. Then he defunded UNESCO. And I was, whoa, this is the New World Order, according to that. Now, we will point out, unfortunately, that he signed the USMCA, which is the United States-Mexico-Canada Free Trade Agreement. And, you know, President Trump said correctly that the TPP was the worst agreement ever made, written by Robert Lighthizer, a member of the Globalist Council on Foreign Relations. But he was also the author of the USMCA. And the USMCA will lead us to a North American Union, merging Mexico, Canada, and the United States. That's why they're not securing the borders. See, to form a world government, you can't get all the countries of the world to join. It's like herding cats. So this plan's been going on for decades before any of us were born. And it took them 50 years to form the European Union. They've lost their sovereignty. They have a regional government. The African Union was formed in 2002. They're fighting over the Eurasian Union. You know, is Ukraine going to be in the Eurasian Union? Is it going to be on the European Union? And in the meantime, the conservative Republican George W. Bush was working on the North American Union. It failed because of members of the John Birch Society's education. And now, right now, if you look on the White House website, you can Google it right now. The first thing, you'll see the Declaration of North America. So you get seven regions, and they will now join the world government.
Gotcha.
And that's their goal.
So that's when the USMCA was when I was with the Rich Scioli, you know, Rich and Rich Scioli show.
Yes.
And actually, I had the honor of meeting President Trump at that point, then President Trump, in the Oval Office, and that he was pushing for the USMCA. So I'll have to ask Scioli about that one. But I think for Trump, it was a business deal. It was getting that, you know, oil across the country. And so I think he saw that as a simple business transaction and jobs. So we'll have to look into that. We have to leave it there. But I love talking to you, Dave, and I love learning new things. And to be honest, Anthony told me I was interviewing you less than an hour ago. So I just, you know, and so honestly, I really appreciate you coming on. I hope we can continue the conversation because it's fascinating to me. Thank you so much.
I would love to. And can I just say 1-800-JBS-USA1 if you need to get a hold of us.
Dave wants to give out his phone number. Dave Giordano of JBS. Thanks, Dave. Appreciate you. Have a good one.
Thank you. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
Yeah, and by the way, you know, he mentioned Scott Perry, and if you look at the front page or one of the top pages of the Philadelphia Inquirer digital edition, there in bold print, an anti-Trump Republican is challenging Scott Perry in the GOP primary. So they have a very nice picture of a gentleman named John Henry Newman, who is challenging Congressman and Representative Scott Perry here in Pennsylvania. So the Philadelphia Inquirer putting that front and center just for you. Wink, wink. All right, we got to continue the conversation. If you have any reaction to Dave, to John Birch Society, and or to some of what we talked about, love to hear from you. Or Farmer Amos, now under fire, and we'll see the Pennsylvania AG's office in court, 855-839-1210. A lot more to unpack. And by the way, guess who's back, who's scheduled back in a courtroom in Manhattan this morning for that civil proceeding? Donald J. Trump, fresh off that New Hampshire victory. So got a lot to talk about. I appreciate you. Thanks for being here. Dawn Stensland, Menti, @DawnStensland on X on social media. Be right back.